Hi.
Hello, Mel. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Just, you know, just having a good time.
Having a good time. Sorry, to Freddie Mercury.
I know, we're just like, it's going to be like the Josie and Mel singing.
I do like to sing. Like, I sing a lot in my personal time. I'm a terrible singer. It's not like a hobby where I go and do singing classes or perform.
Yeah.
But I'm a bit of a like, sing a bit.
Oh yeah,
when I'm around the place. So
I do. I love it. I love a little bit of a sing. It's funny. One of my friends has a friend. One of my friends has a housemate, though, who I swear to God, every time I'm there, she's like a bit odd, and she's in her room. Now, she'll come out and say hi at some point to get like food, but just like lives in her room. You know, this housemate that just never emerges. Yep. Sort of like a little, almost like a hermit, but in a house. Yep. And she will put on like top 40 and sings like super loud in that way, like when you were a kid and there was like a kid in choir who like sang aggressive. The kid in choir was me.
Yes, same.
I was like, also, I'm bitching about myself also, as a 10-year-old.
This is me in the car with Julian. I sing like I'm an 8-year-old kid.
But I was like, I'm going on a tangent within a tangent, but I'll tell about this tangent and I'll come back. But I was like doing it. So I used to do Sunday school choir, like church, like Baptist church, really like, no, Anglican church, very uptight.
Right.
And every Christmas we would have a little like, you know, a performance where we wore robes.
Oh, wow.
It was very fancy. And there was probably like 20 kids and it was me and my sister were in there. And my sister did not fucking give a shit and she just hated the whole thing but had to do it. And I loved it and just wanted to be like the center of attention. And every year there would be like one kid that got to be picked as a soloist as for one chorus in Silent Night. And
the worst Christmas song. I hate it so much.
And that it's just so boring. It's like and it just keeps going going. It never ends. Like, when does it end? It's 400 there's 400 verses.
Yeah.
But anyway, so but the woman, the old lady that ran it, was so nepotistic, and her granddaughter was in.
Of course.
Yeah, her granddaughter was in the choir. And so every fucking year, I never learned.
Oh,
like,
no.
4 years of my life.
You try really hard.
Every year, I'd be like, round yon virgin, ma, the ranchard. You know, like, really giving
really
it a fucking go.
Vocal gymnastics.
Yeah, just trying hard to, like, stand out from the crowd. Mm-hmm. And every year, fucking Genevieve, her name was Genevieve, would always get.
I just said that.
Imagine, she could be in the group.
Two of my friends named Genevieve listen to this podcast. I, of course,
honestly,
her name is Genevieve.
She could be in the group.
I actually love the name Genevieve.
Well, Cara, who's one of like a listener of All Those Mystery Hour, is my sister's primary school best friend. Like, and she, when she joined the group, I remember being like, Kate, is this like Cara? And she was like, yes.
I know.
And so, like, this Genevieve, she could totally
she could be there,
be in the group. Anyway, I'm so sorry, Genevieve.
Sorry.
I don't
She's
judge
just
you now.
A little upset that she wasn't the star.
I still have a chip in my shoulder about that time when I was 10. Anyway, so her nan would always pick Genevieve.
Mm.
And so I would always be left just sad, and Genevieve just would get the solo. And Genevieve was a good singer. That was the worst part of it, because it was like, I was a kid. I didn't really think about the nepotistic element of it. I just thought, every year I can't beat her. It's like I'm so close and yet so far.
Yeah.
That was a side talk about something else.
You were never going to win. No. We were just talking about singing.
No, I still don't remember what we were talking about. It was like something to do with singing. Who cares? Whatever.
Who cares? I wanted to say to you that my friend George, who is the housemate of my friend Al, he sings, but he doesn't sing top 40. He makes up songs for whatever he's doing. Like, he can't possibly just exist. Like, he has to sing. And I remember my favorite was when we went over for the Game of Thrones finale and we ordered heaps of pizza and he was getting it all ready kind of on the bench. You know how you put the lid under the thing so everyone can – and he's like, and the pizza, and we've got it, and we'll eat it. And he doesn't even do it so that you – laugh. He just does it automatically and we all lost it. Like, usually I just ignore him, but that one was so funny.
The pizza, so good.
And then we always sing the Game of Thrones pizza song.
That's cute.
But yeah, sorry to sing again. We've got no Henno this week.
No, that was a one-off. That was a one-off, and now it's just us. And I feel like when someone else is here, we're sort of like, gotta like,
yeah, sing. I feel like we're behaving ourselves.
I felt like we're behaving ourselves, and now we're just telling. I don't even remember what the original story was. Can you
imagine if Henno was here listening to this shit? He'd
hate.
He'd be like, I'm out.
He would be like,
out of here. Please stop singing.
Bitches are fucking crazy.
Bitches be crazy.
Not that I didn't even know that, because I sit literally within a triangle of you guys. Yes. I have to deal with you all day, every day. You
can't avoid us.
But you're extra crazy on this podcast. Yes,
it's us. I just wanted to say that I've joined Mel's netball team.
Mm-hmm. And the Sharon Strzelecki's. I've really, got a new member.
I'm really keen and excited for next week's game.
Yeah,
Josie Tuesdays played. Are so special now. It's always a mystery hour. Mm-hmm. So today, when you guys are hearing this episode,
yes,
we'll be playing netball tonight.
We will be.
Tuesday's just the best day now.
Yeah. Josie played her first game last week.
Yep.
She did very, very well.
6 years. I haven't played for 6 years.
I saw
years.
You get an intercept.
Oh, yeah.
That happened.
I was kind of amongst it. Yeah. I could have been better, but I'm rusty.
Look, get there. First game back after 6 years, mate. Yeah. Pretty and damn
fuck
good.
Fuck me. She was about 2 years old.
Oh, yeah. We played. So we're both 33, just FYI, in case no one knew that. And we were literally playing like 19-year-olds.
They were so young. And they had pimples.
Yeah. And you don't realize this is the
Not
thing.
Not that I don't have pimples, but they had that young pimple.
You're like, and I fucking have pimples.
They had that young pimply skin, you
Yeah,
know?
It's like hormonal skin before you get your adult skin.
Yes.
Like that's what they had.
That's what they had.
Like that wasn't a shaming.
I wasn't shaming
thing.
Pimples.
That's just like, as no. in, that's how young they were.
That's how I gauge how young you are. If you've still got those little hormonal pimples.
Yes, exactly. But the thing is, like, some of you might be like 19, 18. That's great.
That's fine.
In a sport sense, it's not. I don't want to play you.
I was
netball.
Exhausted. My chest, to be fair, I had been very sick the week before, but my chest hurt. Yes. I was like wheezing, just trying to defend on this little gun. Little, she wasn't that good a player, but she was just very energetic.
Fast.
She was just everywhere.
And it's like, you're so bendy and I'm jumpy and excited. And it's like, I got to the end of the game and I was like, I'm playing a pretty damn good game here. I'm doing good. Mm. Like, I'm, you know, feel good, like energetic. And then I was like, this player that I'm against is so fast and zippy and just zippy. Everywhere, just fucking jazzy everywhere, you know. And I was like, my knee hurts in a specific area, like my meniscus, which I know what it is because I tore it once,
is
acting
flaring up.
Acting up.
Oh.
I had a muscle, a ligament.
Yeah.
Acting up.
That's when you know you're old.
Like, I'm at the point now in my life where I'm saying that parts of my body are acting up.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That's fucked. It's bad. I was saying to one of the girls after netball that, like, every night I have to get on, like, my foam roller and my pressure balls to, like, roll out my muscles. And that's just from sitting at my desk. I haven't done anything. It's just from the act of sitting all day.
Yes.
That my muscles seize up and I get sore hips like an old lady.
I just hate it. It's like,
I hate being old.
My meniscus offends me, which is frankly, that's how I feel. And I don't want to have parts of my body playing up.
I just, like, you know, I love footy. And I watch these guys throwing themselves around and then they'll like throw themselves on the ground and get up within 2 seconds. Mm. And I'm like, I would have taken 5 movements to get up. I would have knew the guy next to me and I would have been like one leg, another leg, and then he would have had to pull me up. And then he just kind of springs back up and keeps playing. And
it's
very
disturbing.
I'm like, it's because he's 20 and he's got the hormonal acne still.
Yes, yes.
That's why.
Anyway, so netball's great.
Yeah, love
We're
it.
We're doing great.
I just wanted to say that as an aside.
You know what else is great, Josie?
What?
Is that we have a fucking live show coming
live
up.
Live show.
So some of you may not be in the group, and that is fine. That is your personal choice.
Yeah, the
and
group's I not for
it.
Everyone.
It's not for everyone. So, but yeah, if you're in the group, you probably already know about this. But if you're not, we're just telling you through the podcast.
We're going to say it every episode until the live show happens.
Until we die. We'll say it every episode until the episode is just us saying it.
Yeah,
basically,
for
over
an hour.
And over and over for an hour in different ways.
Yeah,
I'll but do we're the, really excited.
Oh no, that was Mystery Minutes. I was going to say I'll do the Elizabeth Holmes voice for one of them.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to Mystery Minutes, which would have gone up on Friday, hopefully.
Yes.
I assume so. Yeah, listen. Don't listen if you don't like the crapping on. But you wouldn't be listening to this if you don't like the crapping
we've
on.
Yeah, because we've been crapping on for at least 9 minutes.
Yeah, but we talked about a few podcasts.
Yeah.
Talked about a few books. Mm. But back to the event. The show with mm-hmm. Jazz Hands.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on
Friday the 3rd of May.
Friday the 3rd of May.
At 7:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
at a venue called Giant Dwarf in Redferns on Cleveland mm-hmm. Street.
Yep, in Sydney.
In Sydney. Sorry to people out of state. We obviously could only get Sydney over the line first because we live here.
Yes.
And it's like 2 seconds away from work and our homes.
Yes.
And if this one goes well, then we can look at hopefully doing it in other parts of Australia. Glenelg.
Mm-hmm. Glenelg is the pinnacle of what we want. There's been a lot of
requests for my favourite place, Tasmania.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Melbourne, where we have quite a lot of listeners as well. Mm-hmm. But the first one, Sydney. Tickets are on sale now.
Mm-hmm.
GiantDwarf.com.au.
Yep, it's one note, $20.
Just $20.
We said it was going to be one note, then we said maybe it wouldn't be, but we made it one note.
$20.
Like $20. Come on, even if we're the shittest people ever to see live, which we're not going to be, we'll be amazing.
So fun and zesty.
So we'll be probably too fun and zesty. We'll be so jazzed up that we'll.
We'll be talking. It'll probably go for 20 minutes because we'll be like talking like that because we'll be nervous. It'll be really fun. I promise.
Yeah. And $20. Don't have coffee for a week. You're sweet. Yeah. If you're one of our friends, you have to come or we'll kill you.
Yeah.
Not really. But
we'll
maybe.
Kill you and then hide the body and then there'll be a mystery and then we'll cover it in the live show that you're missing. Just to fuck
with you. We'll be like, who did this murder?
Who killed Josie's best friend?
I know a lot of
best
info
friend.
About this murder, but I didn't do it.
And then the who police storm in. You know, facts that we didn't reveal to the public.
And then we'll be like middle fingers up being like, fuck you, friend who didn't fucking come. I owned you by killing you and then talking about it in the podcast and then getting arrested.
But people laughed at your death in our live podcast. So it's the ultimate.
The ultimate
offense
sick
to that
burn.
Person.
Basically
come.
But yeah, I don't That's know what information we've given point. You now, but That's go to giantdwarf.com.au.
Yeah.
You can buy tickets there. Mm-hmm. They're $20.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you need
That's
to know.
That's pretty much it.
And
Friday, the 3rd of May.
And you should get in soon. They have sold a lot in what's only been 2 weeks. Yes. So if you wait till like the day before, you may miss out.
It's not a huge event. There's not that many seats.
Yes.
So you kind of have to buy the tickets.
Yes.
Now. Just exactly. do it. If you've just been thinking now. About it, just do it now.
Everyone has $20 in their account except me
I know.
In my uni years.
That's like,
and also me last week, actually.
I know.
It's like, actually, sometimes I don't have $20 in my account, but usually I do.
But ask someone for a loan. Like, your mum will lend you $20.
Just fucking, like, steal $20. Don't steal.
Don't steal.
Find $20 in the street. Walk around the street, especially near ATMs,
mm-hmm.
and just find $20.
Or those, like, at the shop where people get money out and they forget to take it.
Oh, my God. My favorite thing ever is when I find, like, $50 near an ATM, but there's no one that's just recently used it. It's like a gift
I
from
have
you
to
me.
Have this.
And it's, I can't find you. I can't find you.
I'm not going to put it. My dad would put a sign up and be like, he's honest.
Someone
to like
has left
a false.
This $50. That's ridiculous. That's just.
My dad goes on morning too walks. Trusting. He has done so mm-hmm. since before I was born. And anything he finds of value, he used to put like a little sign up and say, like, money found or like
oh my God,
phone
bless
found
him.
So he could try and return it because he believes in karma.
Phone found, yes, and wallet.
He'd just say money. Like he wouldn't say the amount.
Yeah.
But then like wouldn't the chances like, just think- oh it was $20. Okay, you can have it.
Yes.
He
so
stopped
trusting.
Doing that. He
oh
stopped
my God,
doing
what
that.
What a sweet angel.
Now
though.
I think he just takes it.
Oh my God.
I think it was he actually found like a fair bit of cash one day.
Mm.
I think it was like he found a wad of cash.
Okay, that is drug money
and
you
was
should
like,
not take it.
And he was like, okay. And like,
oh my God. And then the drug dealer's like,
come
oh,
after
yeah,
my dad.
Oh, yeah, did you? That's just my money. I just don't like banks.
Yeah.
I just keep my money on
I
myself.
Just roll with wads only.
That weird packet of white powder you found in there, that was just some washing powder
that's
that I
need. That's my icing sugar. I'm making a lovely... lovely batch of cupcakes today and I need it.
I need that square,
just
compact.
Because I'm just short. I just need like 30 grams of icing sugar to get me over the line. Just that tiny
and I
bit.
And carry it around with me.
Yeah, because I'm always just a bit short.
I just carry
and my
it.
My icing just needs that extra thickness. Otherwise, it's too runny.
Yeah. And I know that all the $20 notes were rolled really tight. And but that's just the way I store them.
He just has all this drug money in his house. He doesn't, by the way, guys.
Sorry, that was just such an...
Dad has no drug money in his house. No. He's an honest, upstanding citizen.
He is.
Should we talk about a mystery?
Yeah, let's do it. There's no other announcements, is there?
No.
I think you all know about the group.
Yeah,
Facebook, All Aussie Mystery Hour. I think you all know about the Instagram, All Aussie Mystery Hour, and the Twitter that we never use, mystery_hour.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's it. And always, actually, no.
Mm.
There was something you wanted to address, because I was just about to say, also go to iTunes, rate us 5 stars, leave us a nice review only.
Yeah, because I'm convinced that iTunes just fucking hates us. So
yeah.
Okay, I probably should stop saying that because now they probably do.
They're listening. They're like,
but like, even if you listen on like Spotify, I don't think you can rate on Spotify. Maybe you can. Rate us on Spotify too if you can.
Just do whatever you can. Look, and tell all your friends to listen. Try and recruit people.
Just make it.
If you meet someone famous... I'm really about...
Ideally.
When we meet... I'm interviewing Jack White tomorrow of the White Stripes fame. I'm going to tell him I have a podcast.
How are you going to segue into that?
I'll just bloody tell him. Hey, I have a podcast. Bye. I tell everyone famous. Like,
hey, Jack White, I know we're here to talk about your music. Just really quickly beforehand, can I just tell you about something? It's like we're like the Ponzi scheme now. We're just like, hey, dude. Hey, guy. I'm just going to like tell you about something. And they're like, what have we got, 15 minutes? Yeah, this will take 10 and then 5 and for the interview. And then 5,
I'll ask you one question
that's
about your dumb tour.
So, you know your dumb tour. Like, can you just like, just talk about that real quick? Like, just give me 2 minute soundbite. Let's go. Now that we've got 10 minutes, I've got this presentation I prepared.
Can I talk to you about All Aussie Mystery Hour?
Can I play this in your ear? Just let me shove my phone in your ear real quick.
I'll find a way to work it in. I'll ask him if he listens to podcasts. I'm genuinely interested in what Jack White does in his spare time. He's such an eccentric dude.
I know. What does he do?
Like, I just think he lives in like a Victorian mansion.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And for fun, he just listens to records on a gramophone.
And like watches his pet spiders that he definitely has. He just like watches them.
Yeah.
Like make webs and fight. Eat flies and fight. Yeah. He has fighting spiders.
But he probably doesn't even know what a podcast is, because I just feel like he's not that into technology.
No, he doesn't have any technology. He doesn't have a phone.
Nah. I actually don't think he does.
He doesn't.
I think I read an interview where he was like, I don't have a phone.
People have to mail him.
People have to telegram.
Yeah.
Or just come over to his house, which is so fucking annoying. Like, I hate it when people come to my house.
Don't even like answering phone calls, let alone answering the door and having a talk to someone.
And especially if you're famous, like Jack White.
Avoid them. That's shit. Jack White, you're living shit life.
I'm going to tell him all of this tomorrow. I'm just going to nag him for 15 minutes.
He's not living his best life. Sorry, guys. What I was going to say was...
Yes.
I don't like reading out all these shit reviews, but I'm going to read out a nice one just to be like, yay. And then I'm going to read you one shit one because I have issues with it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want you guys to start like thinking that... Like, I don't like giving too much attention to these cunts.
Yeah, like...
Wow, I said cunt in a podcast.
You said it. I'm so proud of you.
My dad will be so angry.
Sorry, Mr. Mason.
And he totally listens sometimes. As you know, he's been commenting on shit in the group.
He really has been. He's active.
I quite liked this review,
mm-hmm.
which was gold. I never thought I'd find myself laughing so much I cried in a mystery/crime podcast, but here we are. A really good variation of episodes from solved crimes, disappearance. Well, I don't think any of them are solved. Sometimes we do solved, actually, but there's
like
still a
Malat
mystery.
And
there's still
Falconio.
A mystery in there. Disappearances of people, things, etc. If you're up for some quality banter and lols whilst learning about Australia's odd and mysterious history, have a listen.
Beautiful. Lovely.
Thanks,
that's
Chelsea
beautiful.
Gittins. Oh, that was
Chelsea.
Lovely.
Come here so I can kiss your face. I know.
What a delight. Here's one from Dane Punks that I don't particularly like, and I'll tell you why in a minute.
Okay.
1 star, of course. Mm. These girls go off track and talk about themselves too much. Fair. That does happen.
Yep.
Too much? Would we say too much? I would say just enough.
Mm.
It's distracting and annoying. Also potentially fair for some people.
Yep.
The Yowie episode was not researched properly at all.
How
very
dare
poor.
He.
And then he ended with talk so much smack, and it's like, you're talking smack. And also, why end there? You had a really like concise sort of...
Yeah, you kind of had legs to stand on.
Yeah, and it went weird. And then you didn't put a full stop, which always bothers me. Anyway,
whatever. The Yowie episode was so well researched.
Can I tell you?
Also,
as someone who never researches...
Can we just say...
Yeah.
It's a Yowie, dude. Come on.
Like, okay. Let's just think about this for a second, because I do genuinely kind of believe in Yowies. But let's also accept that... there's never been proper evidence that this creature exists.
Mm-hmm.
So you were sitting here telling me that my episode, that PS had like 12 different news articles and quotes from direct people who had
enormous.
Allegedly seen yowies. There was shit in there from the Yowie, like Hunter's website.
Yep.
Like it was, we tried to get Tim the Yowie man to do an interview with us, which we're still going to try and do for some other episode just for fun because he's so great. Like, fucking worked really hard on that episode.
Yeah, you did.
And I think it was a pretty concise, good, like, package of facts and information and
I hate it when they come for the research thing.
Yeah.
Because we actually do research. It's never going to be case file levels. We're not fucking case files, say, in every episode. But he has researchers and writers, right?
100%. He has, like, a team that work
we
with him.
We have full-time jobs and we have to somehow squeeze it into our day.
Yeah.
And we try and do the best thing, but that's not the podcast that we're doing.
No.
Like, if we wanted to do a case file type thing, we'd need a lot more time and we'd probably do it ahead of time because there's no banter. You could take 6 months off and bloody do a chunk of episodes.
Yeah. But also, I want to just put it on the table, proverbially, that if Case File did the Yowie, they'd probably do a shittier job than I did because I did a fuck ton of research on that fucking episode.
That was a great episode.
I went through like 20 cases. Anyway, I'm not even going to get angry about this because it's dumb. But dear Dane, Mr. Guy.
Get fucked.
Get fucked. But also, are you sitting, what is it like the same as when we do Mr. Cruel? Like,
yeah.
A Yowie is not Mr. Cruel.
Yeah.
Hun.
Mr. Hun. Mr. Cruel actually exists.
Like, a Yowie is a potentially mythical creature.
Yeah.
That there's not any actual solid hard evidence
apart from news reports. If I sat around going, who cares, during the Mr. Cruel one, like, absolutely, come for me. Yeah. Troll the fuck out of me in the reviews because that's really disrespectful and we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fun, zesty episode about a Yowie. Shut up. Also, I love is that we got an email about the Cessna episode.
Oh, yes, we did too.
No, but it was a mean one. And she was like, this is ridiculous. If you knew anything, you'd go to this website, which I actually did reference in my episode, you stupid cow. But then the wife of one of the men who was in the plane wrote to me and said, spot on, with a thumbs up emoji. So, mean email lady, stick that thumbs up emoji in your pipe and fucking smoke it. Bitch.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm so sorry. We're not usually angry people. But,
yeah,
you know, we've just had a bit of a week. Anyway.
We've had a week.
My point being, don't come here and tell me that an episode about a mythical creature wasn't researched enough, particularly when I had like 12 articles in it. Also, don't come and tell us that we didn't use an article in the Cessna episode that we fucking did.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just on top like of it the much. Fucking person who actually was involved in the Cessna thing liked our podcast episode. So suck on that, as they would say in Mean Girls. Anyway, Tracy, what are you talking to me about today?
Melissa, I'm going to talk to you about the Tasmanian tiger, speaking of creatures that may or may not exist. I love creatures and I'm not the creature feature gal.
No.
I'm usually, you know, all these children got abducted and you're like, wow, Jose.
Yeah.
Fucking dark.
Like, way to bring the mood down.
But I know that I need some variation in what I do and I'm genuinely interested in this.
Yes.
And people have been asking for it in the group too. And I said, I'm going to do it. And then I decided now's the time.
Yeah.
So I've done it. I'm found so the Tasmanian tiger. He's just here.
I'm just going to bring him
here
out.
Here he is. No, I haven't found
we've
one.
We've taught him to bark.
Yes. I've just, I've just researched it.
No.
Some
I
credits.
Wish you did have one.
I know. They're so cute. I really like
I'm going to do that a lot this episode.
Oh, the little baby. In the little vans.
Little baby Tassie tiger in the little vans.
Okay. So some credits before we start.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a shout out to my mates at Wikipedia for this one.
I fucking love Wikipedia.
A big contribution to this is Wikipedia, but there's also a 2018 New Yorker article called The Obsessive Search for the Tasmanian Tiger by Brooke Jarvis.
Okay.
There's a 2017 ABC News Australia article, credit unknown. Couldn't find the name there.
Mm.
So I tried, Mysterious Journo.
Sorry, Mysterio.
And there's also a 2016 BuzzFeed Australia article by Brad Esposito.
Oh, shut up! up. So Brad works with us now.
So Brad works with us. And while Mel hasn't been in the office for a couple of days. She did a late shift. She worked from home. And I told Brad what I was doing this week. And it turns out he's a Tasmanian tiger truther.
Oh my God. Like me. If we'd had more time, he could have been in the episode.
But he actually helped, he like linked me to his story and linked me to the New Yorker one as well.
Amazing.
And yeah, so I'll be actually using some of his quotes for this episode. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Brad, who doesn't listen to the podcast.
He said he would because I said good. I'd shout him out and he wants to hear his own name and go, oh my God, that's me. I don't think Brad would do that.
I don't
that.
Think he would say it in that voice, but I wish that he would.
Yeah. So here's what, and I'm like, I'm a real truther, so I'm like, here's what the government wants you to think and know. But these are just like the facts, right, about the thylacine. Is that how you say it?
I think so. I've always said it that way.
Because I'm going to say it a lot.
Let's say thylacine and let people yell at us later.
So the Tasmanian tiger, also known as the thylacine, was one of the largest known carnivorous marsupials in a family that also includes quolls, which are vicious little things. They're adorable.
I've never seen one.
So I go to Tasmania a lot and I go to wildlife parks because I love animals and squealing at them. And quolls are really cute. They've got spots.
And I know what they look like.
Probably as big as a cat. But they're like the guy holding them always has the gloves up to his armpits. He's like, yeah, they're cute, but you don't want to touch one. It'll take your finger off.
Dunart, so it's basically my puppy then.
Yes. Dunart. I don't know what a dunart is.
I've never heard of that.
A numbat. And the Tasmanian devil. So they're all carnivorous marsupials.
Yes.
The Tasmanian tiger looked like a medium to large sized dog. So it was the biggest out of this family. Yep. Except it had a stiff tail that stuck out like a kangaroo.
Yes.
Like straight.
They did exist, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I was just for 1 second, I was like, I swear it's not like a yowie. No, these existed. These existed. It's whether they still exist. Yes, okay.
So it stuck out like real stiff, like, you know, kangaroo tails.
Yeah.
And all
that's
this,
interesting because I thought they looked more like dogs.
No.
But that it's interesting that they had a stiff tail.
And this is all kind
tail.
Of important because it's like that's what allows people to go, it was that, it wasn't a dingo that I saw.
Yes,
because of the tail.
Because they do look a little bit like dingoes. Yeah.
They do. And they've got, they have stripes down the side.
Yeah.
And that's where they got the tiger name.
Yes. Okay.
And like all marsupials, almost all, they had a pouch.
Ah.
To carry the young. And I learned today, there's only two marsupials that have a pouch in both sexes.
Yeah.
So the, obviously, a female animal has a pouch to hold babies, kangaroos, wombats, etc. But a Tasmanian tiger and a water opossum, the boys also have pouches, which is so weird. And the thylacines, the pouch I've written here, served as a nice little sheath for its dick and balls.
Oh.
So basically,
do they also put children in the pouch?
No. It just covered up his junk.
Oh, it just protected the junk?
Yeah.
Which is like, that's very smart.
Yeah.
They're obviously protect the junk. More developed type of marsupial because like I would also probably like my junk protected, especially if it hung like
hanging,
you know,
down.
Dogs, it's like there and it's like, dude, that must get annoying. Like you bang that into shit all the time.
Yeah. And sometimes, I don't want to go there.
What?
You know when
they get the little red rocket?
Yes.
Oh my God, I hate the red rocket. It's I'm so glad that Neely, so I've got a puppy. Well, my mum has a puppy, but I then by default have a puppy.
The family dog.
Yeah. Millie's a little girl.
So she doesn't have a...
We almost bought a little boy because the little boy in the litter was super, super cute. But Millie was... Mum wanted a girl. Our old dog was a girl. I think she was feeling a bit like nostalgic for the little girl. Anyway, but then I realized I'm probably happy about it because,
the little red rocket
is creepy. And even if you de-sex them, they get it. It's it's so weird. I don't like it.
And Julian and I will be like, oh, look at that cute dog. And then we'll see that it has one. And it's like, oh, it's got it.
And then you know it's like turned on by something. It's weird. I don't know.
Really creepy. But the Tasmanian tiger, you didn't have to see that.
No.
It was in a sheath.
Protected.
So some people also called it a Tasmanian wolf just because of its kind of like dog-like features. Yeah. But Tasmanian tiger is what stuck. It kind of looks similar to a hyena.
Yes.
In the way it kind of moved around.
Okay.
But they're not related at all.
Okay.
And so another really distinguishing feature is it could widen its jaws to an 80-degree angle.
No, no. No, 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 no.
So I'm doing this thing with my hands where my,
it's,
my hands
it's
are
a
like
very
this.
Visual. I'm going to take a photo of you doing that while
for
right
our
now.
Content.
for future content, this is Josie doing the hand movement that made me say no so many times.
Yes. So that meant it could hunt down pretty big prey. Kangaroos. And kangaroos are fucking enormous.
What? How can it?
It would take
eat that.
It would just. I'll tell you.
Its mouth to 180 degrees so it can like latch onto its ass.
It would latch on. It would kill a kangaroo, wallaby, wombats, birds, possums, potoroos. But what they were into eating were the organs.
Ew. Oh, my God. No. This is a demon animal.
Demon animal. Hearts, kidneys, eyes. I've written here they loved blood. They just loved blood.
They're fucking demonic.
Really into blood. So because of this, some farmers believe that they were vicious predators that went for livestock. But studies have shown their jaws probably weren't strong enough to take down a sheep or a big animal like that. The thylacine,
more small kangaroos.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But not your big red kangaroos.
Yeah.
But still, it's a bigger animal.
And they're
than
muscly.
And they're fast.
Yeah.
But I think it would probably just incapacitate it somehow and then go for like the neck
jugular.
And get all that.
Great. Because they love blood.
They love blood. So they'd go straight for the jugular. The thylacine footprint was also easily distinguishable from other animals, which is also when people think that they see them in the wild, they look at the footprints.
Yeah.
Because its rear pad was bigger than a dog, fox, cat, wombat. Like it was very unique to them. They had like quite a big back pad on the foot.
Yeah.
And then like smaller, straight kind of toes coming out.
Oh, right. Like more straight as opposed to that rounded shape. Okay.
Yeah. So their footprint was like, they were easy to track.
Yeah.
It didn't bark per se. It had like a bark, cough, yap hybrid sound where it would kind of like make this like I can't do it. I've never heard one. Just try it. But I'm guessing it was kind of like a noise. Like
so, wait, bark, cough, yap.
Yeah, like a
so it'd be like
yeah.
that's our impression.
And it also howled and cried. Like it was known to make those noises, but didn't actually bark like a dog.
Okay.
So at one point it lived in New Guinea and on the Australian mainland, which we know from indigenous rock paintings in these areas that depict the stripes.
Yes.
So the berry and the tail. So those features.
I think I've seen one.
Yeah.
In up in Kakadu.
Yeah, I think that's on the Wikipedia page. There's a photo of it.
Yeah, there's a like there was a big rock painting section and I'm pretty sure someone was taking us through and I'm pretty sure they were like, that's definitely a tiger.
But then I'll just stop while that fucking motorbike.
I hate motorbikes. Sorry, anyone that
rides my dog one. Used to like they used to drive him mad. Mm. My childhood dog, like he'd go on a big barking, and he could bark. Unlike the fucking Tassie Tiger, he had one of those really grating barks. His border collie, and motorbikes set him off like nothing else.
Yeah.
I'd be like, just fucking ride your bike.
Don't mind them. Just those really loud ones. Those aggressively loud.
Sound.
That would have scared
someone
listening.
It's a very like sound effects episode.
Sound effects episode.
What was I saying?
You were talking about.
Yes, so I was saying that they were rock paintings, but they'd become extremely rare or even extinct on the mainland even before British settlement, which is attributed to indigenous hunting and the introduction of dingoes to Australia around 3,000 years ago. So remember we learnt that in the Azaria Chamberlain episode, that they weren't native. They were introduced here, but many years ago. So they preyed on tigers because they're bigger. But when it was on the mainland, it hung out mainly in rainforests, woodlands and grassed areas. They were kind of shy and nocturnal. So they weren't just, you know, dingoes are always walking around.
Yeah.
They weren't like that.
Yeah.
They were the shy, retiring type until nighttime where they'd take down a fucking kangaroo and rip out its jugular. Those vibes.
Cool.
But because Tasmania is a bit more remote, there's a lot more, you know, it's green, it's lush. There's a lot more wilderness. So they did remain there, even though they had become extinct pretty much on the mainland.
Yes.
But when the island was settled and dogs were introduced, the numbers did start to dwindle there. There were still Tassie tigers in the late 1800s, but they were wrongly accused of being the things that killed sheep.
That's what I was about to say when you said that they
cattle.
Couldn't. I thought that was going to come back.
They couldn't. So they've since like exonerated them basically.
Mm.
But and because of the way, like, I guess people had witnessed the vicious way they would kill animals and, like, feast on organs and things like that, they just thought they were killing sheep and poultry, which they probably weren't. It was probably just wild dogs.
Just like, just because I like to eat organs doesn't mean I want to kill your chickens.
Yeah, like lay off. But a bounty scheme was introduced. This hurts my heart. So between 1888 and 1909, the Tasmanian government was offering £1 a head for a dead adult tiger, which Wikipedia tells me is the equivalent to £100, which XE.com tells me is $185 in today's money. So that's, you can see why people are like, get the fucking tigers.
That's going to buy me my new Air Maxes.
That's so good. If you're in the 1800s and you want some new Air Maxes, you got to fund that by catching a tiger.
Yeah.
And they'd pay 10 shillings for the little baby.
No. That's mean.
I hate that. I hate anyone that shot a puppy, a pup.
How do you shoot a puppy?
A pup tiger in Tasmania in the 1800s. I hate you.
Actually, to be fair, I eat a lot of lamb as a Greek person.
I don't. Yeah. Morally, I'm opposed to it.
See, Greek, you can't.
I know.
If you're Greek, you're eating lamb. And it doesn't bother me, even though I think lambs are really cute.
I've got this thing where I can't eat anything I think is cute. So I'm not a vegetarian.
Yeah.
I don't think cow. I like cows, but I'm not like the little cow will eat. I love like beef. It's my favorite. Chicken, I don't think they're cute at all. No. I'll eat them. Veal, no.
Oh, lamb, see, I like veal as well. Yeah.
I even think ducks are cute. So I don't eat ducks.
Well, I've just never liked duck as a meat. So.
I actually don't really love lamb, to be honest.
I don't like pork.
Don't like pork either.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, lamb can be like hit and miss, but like Greek lamb, like if I made you.
My mum really used to do a Greek roast leg of lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. That was good. But
anyway,
I can live without it.
For this meat.
And now we're just drooling about how delicious.
Talking about meats. But also, puppies. Mm. No.
No.
Sorry.
I hope you're.
That's my line.
Being bitten by an 80 degree fucking jaw in hell somewhere just for killing that puppy.
just one 80 degree jaw just opening and shutting like a trap.
Just biting your ankle your arm. For eternity. How annoying.
How annoying.
Just like mild irritation for eternity.
I think mild irritation for eternity is even worse
that's
than
so
like
bad.
Being tortured. That's torture.
Yeah, that is in itself the worst torture.
Yes.
So over 2,000 of these bounties were paid out.
Yeah.
But it's thought a lot more were hunted and killed as well. So while the hunting and the wild dogs introduced to Tassie didn't help, there was also a disease that kind of ravaged the species. So it's called a distemper-like disease, which is when the symptoms are like coughing, that kind of jerky movement. Mm. Sometimes you see those viral videos of like dogs and they set them to music. It looks like the dog's dancing. Mm. And then in the comments, people are like, this dog has distemper.
No.
It's not funny.
What?
Yeah.
No, because I love those dancing dog videos. Are they all distemper? Don't.
Probably.
Oh my God, don't. You've just fucked up the cutest thing. I have this video. There's a video of a little dog and it's dancing and there's like this little kid dancing next to it.
That like, probably doesn't have distemper.
Well, I don't
is
know.
Is it
just rubbing
dog?
Its butt around? Yeah.
Oh, that's got distemper.
It's like pushing its butt around like this.
That dog's going to die.
Oh, fuck. Josie, what is this depressing episode? Have you made Tassie Tiger depressing?
I'm getting through this depressing part. Then we'll get to the zest.
Anyway.
So this disease kind of wiped out a lot of them. A 2012 study published by Australian Zoologists, which is a journal written by Robert Paddle, says that they might not have become extinct if the disease hadn't decimated so many of them. Mm-hmm. So the quote in this article is, the chance of saving the species through changing public opinion, because everyone thought they were fucking
chicken murderers,
back to the quote, and the reestablishment of captive breeding could have been possible. But the marsupial carnivore disease, with its traumatic effect on individual thylacine longevity and juvenile mortality, came far too soon and spread far too quickly.
Mm.
So they kind of didn't have a chance. And it reminded me of Tasmanian devils.
Yes.
So I am like a big Tassie fan, as you know. But before I even went to Tasmania, I was working for TV Week magazine. I was freelancing and I kind of just got given, like I'd work for 4 days and I'd just do what they told me, which was kind of cool because I always did different things. And one of the stories I had to write was about this doco on ABC called Devil Island. And I was like, oh, Devil Island, that sounds sick. And it was all about Tasmanian devils. And I was like, oh, but it's cool. So you know how they have that tumor disease, Tasmanian devils?
No.
It's like this awful disease. It's contagious, I think, amongst them.
Mm-hmm.
and spreads really quickly, and it's this facial tumor disease. I think that's what it's called. Anyway, it's awful. So basically, there's this island in Tasmania called Maria Island. It's an old convict settlement, and they have basically taken all the health, like they test them and they take healthy ones there to try and keep breeding healthy ones that don't have eradicate the disease. And they're in this show, there were some that were at Dream World. You know, they've got animals there.
Yeah.
So they had some there. They had some from the wild, and they would test them, like they'd put like a cheeseburger down, and if it was too used to human food and human contact and would go for the cheeseburger, then they're like, you can't come to Maria Island, because they want them to
You're not good enough.
They want them to be not superior hanging around. No, they don't want them hanging around the because people go to Maria Island.
But they were just like, you're a bit of a dumb bitch. Like, you can't come.
No, like you would be dumb enough to go near the people and then maybe pick up a disease or something. The whole point is that they keep to themselves on the island. I've been to Maria Island.
They want antisocial Tassie devils. You can't see them.
They want just like wild ones, not ones that are like fat little spoiled ones that want to eat cheeseburgers,
because
that's not like ideal.
No.
So it was this fascinating doco. Definitely look it up and find it. But because it was the 1800s, they just didn't even think of this, you know, like by the time they realized, oh, there's a disease and oh, hang on, they're not killing sheep.
Well, and they, you know, they didn't know shit about this country at
so
that
they
time.
Didn't like do anything
and
to
they
help
didn't get,
them.
They didn't care really they about native care. Animals back then.
By 1928, the Tasmanian government were finally like, oh, fuck, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we were wrong.
We're ruining
and
everything.
Now there's like two of them left. Mm. So the Tasmanian Advisory Committee for Native Fauna recommended a reserve area be set up. So there's similar reserves elsewhere in Tasmania. They're these amazing like national park, but you can't even get to them by car. Like there's no human – they're so protected that there's not even a road going to them. So they're like, let's set up a reserve and have them here. Kind of like Maria Island. Mm. But I looked into it, and as far as I could tell, that actually never happened.
Well, that's fucking dumb, isn't
it? It was just too late. And as they became more rare, they were also captured and sent to zoos.
Yes, right.
So that was the other thing. You're either hunting them to get your fucking heaps of money, or you were selling them to a zoo for heaps of money. So it's like they had no chance. Like it just, if it happened today, if you were like, fuck, these animals like a...
Well, it's like the quokkas now.
Yeah.
Like they're like very protected.
And the Tassie devils, like what they've done with this island where they've stepped in to do something.
Well, it's like, okay, so I have a really lol quokka story, but like it's like Rottnest. Like when I went to Rottnest, they're like quite, you know, they're obviously like, we've got quokkas here, we're protecting them here, they're here. You don't introduce other animals there because they don't want to like disrupt them.
Yeah.
But the quokkas are like those Tassie devils. Where they like, because obviously like they've been on that island and I think originally they were just there and no one really gave a shit about
then
like similar
Instagram
to this.
Instagram happened.
But then Instagram happened and then also like tourists happened and people want to get this shot and so they like feed the quokka to make it do shit.
Selfies.
But interestingly, they don't have great signage about what you can and can't do with the quokkas.
That's interesting.
That's not on like the pamphlet that you get of the map. It doesn't say like, here's information about how to deal with quokkas, which they probably should do.
Yeah.
PSWA government, because this is so shameful for me. But when I went, I love them. They're cute. They're gorgeous.
They are so cute.
So I, long story short, I had been eating some chips. And I had the dust on my fingers.
Yeah.
And then I found this little group of them huddled away and I was like, oh my God, quokkas. And I they're very friendly. Like they are very friendly animals. Like they have no fear of humans. So you go, you get in there and you can sit next to them.
Yeah.
But they don't normally climb on you, which is what happened to me. And I realized because I had stuff on my hands.
Oh, you had delicious fingers.
But I then was like, oh my God. And then I'm like hugging it and I like kissed it on the head and like treated it like a fucking pet dog, which it's not.
Yeah.
P.S. Also, most people don't kiss pet dogs on the head, but I do.
You've probably got a weird quokka disease
now. I kiss my dog
now.
All over the face. And so, this is the thing, is then I felt quite, like, nauseous.
Oh, God.
And turns out later that I actually had glandular fever, but at the time didn't know that. And my sister and my friend Alex were like, that's weird that you feel sick. Like, because I literally, like, ended up vomiting.
Yeah.
From feeling sick. And then Alex was like, because we then realized that you're not meant to touch the quokkas at all.
Yeah.
You're only allowed to take like photos with them. You're not meant to like actually pat them
Pick
or anything.
Pick them up and kiss them.
Definitely don't kiss them on the head. And that sign was just this little plaque on top of a table. like a picnic table. Yeah, that's right. How we found that out. And we were like, okay, well, sorry, we won't do it again.
Too late.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway, so we stopped at the end of like our tour around. Alex like Googled why you're not meant to touch the quokkas. Turns out they all have fucking salmonella. Oh.
And so then we were like, oh my God, Mel's got salmonella. We're all going to get salmonella. Oh, we all kissed the quokka. Why did we kiss them? Why were we touching them so much?
Like, put some fucking signs up.
Well, they're like, there's signs, but they're not like,
they're like whisper big signs. Like I like to say, yeah, when a sign's not big enough, I'll whisper it. So yeah, the sign's like, don't touch the quokka.
Yes. That's what I mean. I'm like, I want it on the fucking pamphlet. I yeah want a big sign when I get there.
I have
there
to say, in Tassie, they're very protective of their wildlife and there's yes fucking signs everywhere.
Yeah, like make sure I know, even though it's pretty fucking obvious, you probably shouldn't do that. I'm an excitable person, yeah, and guys.
Think of all the tourists like oh from God, other countries totally that would definitely be wanting to pick them up and be like, yes, oh my God.
Oh my God, they're so cute. Mm. To be fair though, I did think something was up because no one else was really like getting in there.
No one was rolling around on the yeah ground holding it up like a baby.
That's literally what I was doing. I will show you a video later and I'm literally holding it like a fucking baby. Aww. It's just like, clearly this isn't okay. But I got really excited.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry for that aside, but I just thought that's what I fine meant to say was the kind of with the quokkas, that's what they've been doing out there because the reason they've survived so long on Rottnest is because there aren't any other predators yeah from as far as I know.
Yes. And or that's if there the same are, there aren't many. With Mariah Island. Like people are allowed there just like
yeah
Rottnest. But yeah, they've got no like natural predators there.
Yes.
I'm going to say something sad now. You've had a zesty aside. This is about the last tiger.
Yes.
So the last known tiger to be shot in the wild was killed in 1930 by a farmer from Moorabbina in Tasmania's northwest named Wilf Batty. So I'm just here to say, nice one, Wilf. You fuckwit. You've killed the last tiger.
You did it.
You did it, Wilf. The last tiger in captivity was captured in 1933 and taken to Hobart Zoo. His name, there's a bit of conjecture about this and I didn't have time to like deep dive into this. Mm-hmm. His name was allegedly Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
But the person who said that, then like some researcher looked into it and he never worked at the zoo. And it's apparently like really important. Like they're like, was it even a boy? And like apparently the one Wilf killed was a male.
Mm.
But I think in their minds they're like, if Wilf killed a boy and Hobart had a girl, we could have bred them, you fuckwits. So they're yeah like, was he even a boy? But we're going to go with Benjamin because it's cute.
It's a great name. But also I love this idea that someone that didn't even work at the
he
zoo
didn't,
maybe
he's
just
like
making
I it
saw
up
it and his name was Benjamin.
Yeah, and people are like, he didn't even work here then. Like it's really weird. He died on the Benjamin.
Yeah.
Died on September the 7th, 1936. And this is so sad yeah and makes me want to smash my head through the window. Apparently he died because he was left outside of his enclosure and it's so fucking cold at night in Tasmania.
No.
That he like died from
so
exposure.
He had like a painful death. That's yeah awful. I hate. I think I've seen video of that
yes
tiger. Yeah.
So I was about to say he's the one that mm-hmm is captured on the footage. So it's yes the only, I think it's the only footage that there is. It's about a minute long.
Yes.
And it shows him sitting, scratching, walking and yawning mm-hmm with his big 80 degree
oh my God,
fucking
with his
jaws.
Giant scary mouth.
But yeah, I hate. Like, I hate what happened to him. And at the time of his death, it was kind of like, yes, they're rare, but, like, the zoo were just like, oh, we'll just get another one.
Yeah, there wasn't, like, this, like –
it wasn't, like, this panic of he's the last one, we must, done like, save him kind of thing. They were unable to find another tiger, obviously, because yeah they fucking paid for everyone to kill them, dickheads. Yeah. So, there was an unconfirmed sighting in 1938 in the same area where Wilf Batty shot the last one. But – nothing was able to be captured. So then searchers, then they kind of panicked and they're like, wait, are there any left? So then there were big searches kind of mounted through the 50s, 60s and 70s, especially along the areas. So Tassie, the west coast is really
rugged,
untouched and
yeah
rugged. Mm-hmm. And that's where Wilf was. He was like in the northwest, so the top of that. So there were like big like land, air, cameras were set up, like there were big searches to try and find. Mm. In 1972, Bob Brown, who went on to become the leader of the Greens
oh
party,
yes, I remember him.
Yep. I was like, I know that name.
Yeah.
So he was the leader of the Greens party between 2005 and 2012. It was just an interesting aside. He actually headed up, he like worked with environmental stuff, obviously. He headed up the Thylacine Expeditionary Research Team
in 1972, which was like a huge effort to find some. Couldn't find any evidence to even suggest. So no footprints.
Wow.
Nothing.
So this is really
to suggest
not,
that they remained
strong.
There.
Yeah.
So the species was obviously on the endangered list till the 80s. So
till the 80s?
Yeah. So the standard is to become known as extinct.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, this is what the rules were. It had to be 50 years without a confirmed record
right.
of sighting.
That's pretty fair.
Which is fucking ages.
It is ages, but then I suppose in a country like ours, it's like you need...
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of land to cover.
And since no proof of the tiger's existence in the wild was given, it met the criteria and it was officially declared extinct by the International Union for Conservation of Nature in 82 and the Tasmanian government officially in 86.
Mm.
So that's...
Wow, that's so much later than I thought.
Yeah, because of that 50 years. Because it was 1936 when the Benjamin died.
Yeah. It makes more sense now why I feel like I grew up with so much Tassie tiger conversation in the 90s.
Yeah, because it had just been.
It had been like, that's when I was born in 86.
Yeah.
So it's like it's been since then that the conversation, like obviously would have been.
There's a lot of conversation and there's a lot of... like interest.
Yeah.
There's so many animals have become extinct.
Yeah.
I was reading my research that like over 200 species on the mainland of just different animals have become extinct since settlement.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But for some reason, it's just this tiger is the kind of mythical one that everyone.
Well, and is it because the last one died in the 30s and they had footage of it? And so it's
probably,
kind of a
and
bit
it's
more of
no
a...
offense, but it's not like some little bird that looks like every other bird flitting around.
Start with bird
watching. But it's like a weird subspecies, and that's become extinct. Like it's a very unique looking animal.
Yes,
it's just got that fascination behind it.
Yeah,
I think that's why people are just like,
well,
wow.
And
because there's nothing like it anymore.
Yeah, and
I think that's what it is.
There's a thing with animals going extinct as shit as it is. It's kind of like. With birds, there's so
which
many.
Which is really heaping shit on these tiny little birds.
I'm not heaping shit on some.
I like
some
birds.
Birds are cute. Some birds.
I
are
love
cute.
All birds.
I don't love all birds.
I love the big ugly.
The tiny
ones.
Finches are cute. I'll give them a pass. And I like galahs. They're very cute because they're a little pink and they got their little.
I like
tiny
their pink
little,
outfits.
They're like a tiny little like crest on my head. It's so cute, tiny little crest. Anyway, but with birds, I guess there's so many different types and you don't see them up close as much. Like they're not, I guess like animals are like, maybe we are just feel more akin to animals because it's like they're closer to humans in type, you know?
Yeah.
But something about animals going extinct is way more upsetting to me than like a fish or like an insect.
Yeah.
I don't even like insects.
I hate
all
insects.
Get fucked.
I will make them all extinct
all of you
myself
can go,
right now.
I don't care that they help with things.
Who cares?
I don't care. Do not care.
You
just
know,
we'll
Julian
figure it
tried
out.
To sell
we'll
huntsman
out.
To me the other day. He's like,
oh, yeah.
I was reading that if you have a huntsman and you just leave it in your house, it kills all the cockroaches. I'm like, how about I just get a pest man to come in and kill all of them in my house?
Kill everything.
Thanks. And he was
to be
like,
fair,
oh.
I'm weird with bugs because huntsmen don't bother me because my house, there's a lot of trees around where my room is, the house I grew up in, and basically – I'd always have a huntsman. I just feel like I've grown up every single like winter or summer or whenever they come out, I'd have one on my wall. And my dad was so chill about them and being like, oh, look, I'll just take it out, Melissa. I'll just like catch it under a bowl or whatever. And so now when I see one, I'm sort of like, you can just hang there. I don't really care about you.
I think I have an actual phobia.
Mm.
Like I become like I can't move and I can't deal with it myself.
Yeah.
My parents would chill. They didn't react like screaming when they saw a huntsman. It's not some kind of weird learned behavior that I've gotten. My brother would.
That must be a phobia.
Deal
then.
With insects. I think it's like, and my Julian tried to, when he got a huntsman in a container, he was trying to like, Josie, face your fears kind of thing. And like brought it over to me. And I just like.
Oh God, well, that's what did it.
I just went like white. I like ran out of the house. Like I ran.
That's definitely
and he
what
was,
did it.
He was like, no, this was a couple of years ago. I've always been scared of them. And I'm like, I'm telling you, Julian, it's an irrational fear.
Yeah.
That's why it's called an irrational. I know that it's smaller than me. I know it's probably more scared of me than you are of it. It doesn't help. Nothing helps me. I'm so scared of cockroaches, spiders. They're the main two.
Yeah.
Tiny cockroaches, fine. It's those big cockroaches. I'm absolutely petrified of them.
Yeah.
I can't even kill them.
Yeah.
I just stop and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And that's, I almost killed Zoe because I sprayed one half, like half the can on it and then it disappeared. And then the next day Zoe's my cat, everyone. She was gravely ill.
Yeah.
And like they think, I don't believe it, they think she ate it.
And, fuck. And poisoned all of that her. Half mm-hmm. a can of poison.
She nearly died. So.
Shit.
And. But I can't just be a normal human and whack it with a shoe. Yeah. I have to spray half a can of Mortein on it. I just am so scared of just the big spiders and big cockroaches.
Not a fan.
And then other insects I just don't like. Yeah. Don't like butterflies. Don't come near me. Yeah. Moths, fuck off. Nah,
fuck off. The point is, insects, we can insects, figure you out.
Be extinct. Birds, tigers, come back.
More sad.
Yeah.
Fish, kind of sad just because I want to eat you.
Yeah.
Tigers, please come back.
Yeah, please come back.
Or be alive.
Well,
segue.
I think they're there. They're out there. And there's many Tassie tiger truthers out there too, including Tasmania's own Parks and Wildlife website tells me that there are 320 sightings occurring between 1934 and 1980 that haven't been able to be ruled out.
Okay.
In fact, they were termed good sightings. In inverted commas, but in a study by a man named Stephen Smith. And even the park site says, and I'm quoting here, the thylacine is the only mammal to have, in brackets, possibly, end brackets, become extinct in Tasmania since European settlement. That possibly there.
Possibly.
You know what it reminds me of? Mm-hmm. Remember that bit in Dumb and Dumber where he's like, what are the odds of us getting together? And she goes, 1 in a million. Yeah. He's like, so you're telling me there's a chance?
Yes.
That's what I thought of I saw that possibly. It was like in tiny print on my screen and it's like my eyes just went to this possibly. I'm like, you're the Parks and Wildlife Service and you're saying, like, you're throwing doubt upon it. Because there's a lot of people that are like, yes, okay, the 50 years passed. We didn't see one.
Yeah.
But like, it's just 50 years.
Yeah.
So in this 2018 New Yorker article, the journo Brooke Jarvis talks to many Tassie locals who reckon they've seen tigers. So she had a couple of tales. I'm just going to quote the article because she writes it so well and it's funny. So a hotel housekeeper named Deb Flowers told me that as a child in the 1960s, she spent a day by the Arm River watching a whole den of striped animals with her grandfather, learning only later in school that they were considered extinct. So that was in the 60s. They hadn't officially been extinct yet, so it wasn't like a news thing. Mm-hmm. And she just watched them.
Just watched them.
Back to the quote. In 1982, an experienced park ranger doing surveys near the northwest coast reported seeing a tiger in the beam of his flashlight. He even had time to count the stripes. There were 12. Another quote. 10 a.m. in the morning in broad daylight in short grass, a man remembered, describing how he and his brother startled a tiger in the 1980s while hunting rabbits. We were just sitting there with our guns down and our mouths open. And then the article says, once two separate carloads of people, 8 witnesses in all, said that they'd got a close look at a tiger so reluctant to clear the road that they eventually had to drive around it.
Wow. So 2 different cars of people.
Another man recalled the time in 1996 when his wife came home white-faced and wide-eyed. I've seen something I shouldn't have seen, she said. Did you see a murder, he asked. No, she replied. I've seen a tiger.
No.
I just love that a so tiger. Much.
Not a murder, a tiger.
I've seen something I shouldn't have. So that article's really good. I will put it in the group. It's the one that Brad told me about. Mm-hmm. It's really well written. But I just like wanted the zesty encounter stories. Yeah. So to get more, I went into our very own All Aussie Mystery Hour podcast group.
Yeah.
Where we've got stories of people who have seen thylacines or know people who have. So Catherine said, I saw it about an hour south of Adelaide. I found out after that there have been quite a lot of sightings in that region. I was driving in the middle of the night and I pulled over for a few minutes to check Google Maps and scull a Red Bull. When I turned my headlights back on, I saw it for maybe 2 or 3 seconds in the light before it disappeared into the bushes.
Whoa.
I would have probably mentally dismissed it as a weird looking dog or something if it wasn't for the enormous width of its jaws.
Oh my god,
mid yawn. No mammal I've ever seen except the thylacine can open its mouth that wide. The other thing that I remember thinking was strange was the tail. It was longer and stiffer than a dog's tail, but not fluffy like a fox tail. I realize now that's a typical thylacine tail.
So she didn't know that when she was seen.
No.
Yeah.
And it was a long thread in our group, and she said she had her phone in her hand the whole time but didn't film it.
But then I see, I kind of understand that because even when I've seen like platypus, like I've seen a platypus once, which is very exciting.
I haven't yet. That's like on my list. They're sort of
creepy looking, to be honest. They're not as cute as I thought they would be. When they pop their head out, they look a bit weird and like devilish. But anyway, creepy eyes. But when I saw it, it was like, at first I was like, oh my God. And then I went to go get my phone.
Oh,
it's like I go, and then I'm looking, and then
which is nice. It's kind of nice that you're just experiencing it with your own eyes, and not everything has to be documented. Yeah.
But when things are quick and they're not like in that moment, you sort of like,
And she probably just was like, oh, it's a dog.
Yeah.
And then like, hang on. And then it was gone. And you know, just going to film a weird dog in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Another commenter.
I'm just going to film a weird dog in the middle of the road. I probably would, to be honest.
Another doggy commenter called Kate says, my mum is the biggest skeptic about any conspiracies, but she swears hand on heart that she saw something that looks exactly like a Tasmanian tiger in Victoria, in caps. Oh. And when she described what she saw to the national park rangers, she was told she's not the only one who's described a dog that looked like what she saw.
Mm.
So she was like, I saw a weird dog, but... And then named all the weird features, and the rangers said, you're not the only one.
Whoa, okay.
Another one of our group members, Tom, commented, like answered that with, this is pretty much what happened to me, and I'm the biggest skeptic possible. Being logical is kind of my thing. I was often bullied in school because I'm a logically inclined, closed off, high functioning autistic. With that in mind, read my next words carefully. I saw an animal, and the only logical possibility for what that animal was is that it was a thylacine.
Whoa.
Another user, B, commented in our group, one of my work colleagues believes Tasmanian tigers are still around and he has hunted for them too many times to count.
What? Not hunting, but trying to kill them, I hope.
Yeah, I'm hoping just I'm he hoping wants just to see one.
Yeah.
So that's just in our group alone, right? Yeah. So there's all these crazy, like, stories and encounters. In an ABC News article from 2017 featuring some footage captured by a group, a Tassie group called the Booth Richardson Tiger Team.
Love it.
So they're attempting to track thylacines, and they've got all these cameras set up. I think they've got like 15 cameras in this 50-kilometer area around Medina, which is kind of towards the southwest. It's kind of in the middle-ish, but southwest Tassie.
Yeah.
The animal was seen nosing the camera and making a short bark-like sound, like the one you made
like
before.
That little weird noise that I made.
So I'll put the – actually, someone put this link in the group, but I'll put it back in because it's kind of – I searched for Tassie Tiger, but
yeah,
I'll put it back in. So wildlife expert in this article, Nick Mooney, says the animal is most likely a spotted quoll, but he did concede there's a 20% chance – it was a tiger. So you're telling me there's a chance. So he couldn't be 100% sure it was a quoll.
Yeah. Well, and they're
also
related.
One of them's fucking spotted and one of them's striped.
Yeah, I know.
Nick, but, come
like,
on.
I just don't think a quoll looks like a Tassie tiger, even though they're related, like more cousins.
Yeah. And like a quoll is kind of like fatter and shorter and smaller.
Yeah, I know what a quoll. Yeah, so they don't really look the same. They more look like cute. A Tassie devil.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a lighter version.
Yeah, like a sort of, prettier version.
Like a pretty brown version of like
but
spots.
It's more of a bitch. Like, I'm prettier, but I'm a bitch.
Yeah, they're really like
a Tassie devil's assholes?
Yes.
Okay, well then they're
they've
like,
got the name because they make that awful noise.
Oh.
They make this like people in olden times like
do it.
Wilga Wagga waterhole style. Yeah. Like, what is this demon outside?
What do they make? I want to hear it.
Oh my God. It's like.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not expect that from them. I thought like a meow.
No. Oh. And they've got the sharpest teeth that like they'll take your fingers off too.
All right.
So I love them.
I thought the quolls were just going to be like this sort of like bitchy Regina George vibe
and
compared to a nice
also,
Tassie devil.
Also, Tassie devil eyes glow red in the dark.
Okay, cool. So they're both assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, both assholes.
All Australian animals are demons.
Yeah.
I love them so much.
Little lovable demons.
Little lovable demons. Literally one's named devil.
Yeah.
So Greg Booth, who's from this Booth Richardson Tiger team, he told the ABC, he saw one, in 2015. He saw one. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't sleep for days afterwards. It had a really big head, a really long snout. It had a scar up here, pointed to its head. Its ears were pointed, had white around the eyes, with dark brown eyes set back in the skull of the animal. It was sitting down and it looked at me. I was about 8 feet away from it. Seeing the animal changed everything. That's why we did this. Before I saw it, I never believed in them. It's marvelous what you can take note of when it's in front of you. And he said he didn't report the sighting because he wanted proof that he could show others. So that's why then they started this team and put all these cameras around to try and actually capture the footage. So Greg Booth's father, Joe, told the ABC that he always believed that thylacines were still alive and lurking in the bush. They've never been extinct and they never will be, according to Greg.
Bold statement from Joe.
So in 2016, there was some grainy footage of a strange-looking creature poking around some bins in the Adelaide Hills, and that was captured by a resident. The footage was captured, not the actual animal, and they sent that to the Thylacine Awareness Group, which also has a Facebook group, which I've requested to join. I haven't been accepted yet.
I want to be in that group.
I'm hoping I can be accepted. So it's headed up by a man named Neil Waters. So Neil had that footage, and he worked with a guy named John Maguire, and they made some like doco style videos like with that footage, and then like interviews and the old timey footage of Benjamin.
Yeah.
So John Maguire told journo Brad Esposito for BuzzFeed, "It's definitely not a cat because it has a snout, and it's not a dog because it has a long tail. That leaves a fox, and if it's a fox, then it has mange." So sometimes people think that it could be a fox.
Yeah.
But it's not like a well fox.
Yes, okay.
Because it's like
they're skinnier.
They look different and like the tail.
Quite skinny and
foxes are known for those lush, beautiful, bushy tails.
Right.
But their tails are totally different, like stiff and point right down. So it's like maybe people are just seeing sick foxes.
Yeah.
The same Adelaide creature was spotted several times around that same area.
Mm-hmm.
John also pointed out to BuzzFeed that there are hundreds of sightings from all over Australia. And this is my favourite quote from the article. "If you don't believe in all these people, then what are you saying about them? Do you think they're crazy? Do you think they're seeing things? I can't call this many people crazy."
Agree.
It's a good point. And it's the same with Yowies and fucking UFOs and stuff. Like I always think. And even in last week's episode, Heno, when he was like, you know, eight truckies or whatever, all reported the same sky, explosions in the sky. Do you write that off as, oh, he's just crazy? But if there's eight of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose that people would argue that some people would be just trying to get attention whatever. But then I always think, okay, sure. I'm sure there are people that say they see aliens, for example, and they're just like, I want attention. But then.
And ghosts.
Yeah. But I feel like then there are people like all the people in the group where I've seen you interact on other things. And you seem normal.
Yes.
It's not like I see this attention seeking. Yeah,
Catherine, for example, would write about that when she saw it on the road.
Yeah.
Like, what did she get out of that?
And then, like, specific stories where it's like, you know, like, that one you were telling me about, you know, was sitting with my grandfather and we saw this.
Yeah.
I don't know, just some stories I'm like, no, I really do believe you.
Yes.
And then I obviously, like, I think if you took all the, like, hundreds of stories and then you cut, say, a chunk out and we're like, okay, well, this percentage are bullshit and people that just want attention, and then this percentage of people that just think they saw one but it wasn't one.
Yeah.
Then you'd have to be, I don't know. Yeah,
there's still a fuckload of sightings.
It's still a lot of sightings.
Mm-hmm. But when Brad contacted Australian Museum mammalogist Dr. Sandy Ingleby, Sandy told Brad that the footage was too poor to properly analyse, and that I said she, but Sandy could be a man.
Yes, it could.
Sandy believed the tail was too furry.
Written
here, Sandy, a skeptic.
Sandy, skeptic.
The New Yorker, I cannot say New Yorker.
New Yorker, yeah.
I haven't said it once right in this whole fucking podcast. The New Yorker article points out, and I quote, "Because the death of a species is not a simple narrative unfolding conveniently before human eyes, it's likely that at least some thylacines did survive beyond their official end at the Hobart Zoo, perhaps even for generations."
Ooh.
Which I think is an excellent point.
It is.
And I've kind of written here, like, what we're just talking about, like, part of me is with John Maguire saying, are these people all crazy? All in all, there's been 3,800 reported mainland sightings since 1936.
Mainland is so in not even Tassie. Yeah, shit.
And that was just one stat, according to the Australian Rare Fauna Research Association.
That's a lot.
And that was in 2003, that report.
Wow.
So there's probably more now. And that's just mainland.
Yeah.
But then my other point that I've written here is, in an age where our phones are so good.
That's what I was going to say.
That people can shoot actual cinematic films on phones. Why when we get pics and footage, same with Lithgow Panther, is it so grainy and inconclusive? Is it just that we want to believe?
Yeah. And then I'm also like, it's like with Yowies as well. Mm. It's like, okay, I understand that for many people, you're not going to whip your phone out. I get it.
Yeah.
Like, I get that.
If you're fearing for your life.
Yeah. Like, and I do get it. Like, it's not everyone does that. But a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
We get footage of fucking dumb shit all the time. That anything that happens, like big things that happen, there's video. Like Egg Boy.
Uh-huh.
Fucking Egg Boy. I mean, obviously he filmed his own stunt. Yeah. But there were other people filming that.
Yeah.
Like, people film shit all the time, constantly. So.
And you've seen my Instagram stories from Tassie. Julian will see an echidna from the car. Yeah. We'll like pull over, to jump do a out zoom. With our phones.
Yeah.
Ready. And an echidna's not even rare. It's just kind of like, one, I really want to see one. I saw like six on my life. If you follow me on Instagram, head to my highlights because I've got a whole lot of echidna content.
There is some echidna content on there.
They were everywhere. And wombats were on my first trip. It was I'm hoping my next trip, I'm just like, look at all these Tassie tigers I've proven exist. But yeah, it's kind of like, yes, I get why you wouldn't. But when you do film it, why is it like you filmed it on a toaster from 1985?
Yeah.
Like,
it is a bit sus.
Why are the only people capturing it? In 2016, the BuzzFeed one, why is that captured on a toaster?
Yeah.
Like, what are the chances that the person that sees it out the back doesn't have an iPhone?
Yeah, it's weird.
You know? So, I don't know. And I've written here, I think people are just fascinated, like, the dodo, you know, these mythical creatures that existed and were kind of weird looking. And then they're not there anymore. And people are just fascinated in the story. In 1983, you know, Ted Turner, the billionaire American.
No.
He's like, he owns like Time Warner or Time. Okay. Like he.
Like a big company. Yeah.
He's a big mogul.
Yeah.
He offered only $100,000 reward.
Okay, mogul.
For proof of the continued existence of the thylacine. The reward was apparently withdrawn in the year 2000. In March 2005, Australian news magazine The Bulletin offered a $1.25 million reward for the safe capture of a live thylacine.
That's some good money.
That's money.
I'm going to quit my job and just do that.
But that offer only like went for 3 months. Oh. So they had 3 months to find it.
Guys, give us some time.
And Wikipedia tells me an offer of $1.75 million has been offered by a Tasmanian tour operator named Stuart Malcolm.
What? He does not have $1.75 million,
no,
surely.
But maybe he does.
A tour operator, though. Maybe. Yeah.
So Neil Waters told BuzzFeed that he thinks the government need to support these searches. And I'm going to quote him here to kind of end my discussion on the topic. He says, it's in the too hard basket, and I don't think the government knows exactly how widespread the phenomenon is. We're not experts, but we're willing to put our reputation on the line to prove that we're right.
Yeah.
Which is, I like
the government has so much fucking money.
I know.
Just
I mean,
give $1 million
bucks. Get me started. Dig up the Somerton man for starters.
Yeah.
Let's test that DNA.
Yeah.
And then the reason I'm fascinated in Tassie tigers and I believe in them is you go to Tassie and it's just every time I'm hiking there, I like look around. I'm like, imagine if one just walked across the path.
Yeah.
Like
it's so rugged.
Yes. I just think, if there are a couple that still existed, there's so many places that can't be reached
It's
by
dense
humans.
And rugged. It's really like, even because I've been once, but Cradle Mountain, I just did the like standard walk path, not even like extremely interesting walk path.
There was a kid not on that walk, on that path when
just,
I was there.
It's dense as fuck. It's like so many little nooks and crannies for Tassie tigers to like have their babies and chill.
And like, I just think like animals learn stuff. Like animals learn that humans are scary and should be avoided at all costs. They were fucking persecuted down there because they were wrongly fingered for being the creatures that were killing livestock. Tassie Tigers
are people now.
And it was wrong.
Yeah. And so they probably fucking hate us now. And they're like, they're fuck like, you, okay, dickheads.
Stay here in this remote fucking part. And they were nocturnal as well. Yep. And they were already pretty shy creatures. So I just think they've probably gotten even more so. Yeah. I'm not saying there's thousands of them out there, but I think the chances of them there being a few is pretty high.
Yeah, agreed. I'm on Team Josie on this one. I think so too.
I didn't realize the injustice of it all. I think like the fact that I knew that they'd become extinct, obviously because people came.
Yeah,
but I didn't know they were out there like hunting them because they thought they'd done the bad thing. And killed sheep.
It's fucked.
It's so fucked, and I'm so sad. And it's sad.
It's really sad that, you know, like you said, that they didn't actually know they had the last one.
Yeah, and they just left him out of his fucking cage.
Dumbasses.
And he died because
he
was cold. I didn't know that. So, yeah, I learned that, and that makes me so angry sad.
Yeah, and I think it's that whole – well, it's what – they almost wiped out Crocs up north. Which I learned when I was like in croc country for so long. And because they were, just going around killing them because they were a pest at the time.
Yeah.
So they were just like, fucking kill them all. And then obviously people wanted the pelts and things.
Yeah.
And then luckily they
stopped in time. It. Yeah.
But
they didn't stop in time for these guys.
But that's like just so much like just such a human bullshit thing. It's just like, I want more, and I'm just going to kill things for no reason. And like, just because I want the, like, you know, victory of killing it.
Yeah.
I want $150 fucking dollars, which is like nothing.
Yeah. My God, I would pay so much more than that.
I know.
To have them back, you know.
I would supply some money. But anyway, government, you totally have heaps
fucking
of money.
Fucking hell, government. Right? Okay, you're the reason. Well, at least in Tassie, you're the reason that they're not here. So fucking do something about it.
Go into that big sack of money.
Yep.
Pull out $1 million maybe.
Yep.
Give it to Ted Neil. And Brenda's Tassie Society, whatever that one was that you said.
Oh, Booth Richardson.
That's the one. Ted and Brenda's. And, you know, just give them $1 million.
Yeah.
And let them set up a whole bunch of cameras and shit and find one so that we can put it in a nice enclosure.
Yeah. And breed them. And
in a really nice area, like just like cordon off, like sort of like a dog playpen, but around some bushland.
Yeah.
And then let them breed again and protect them.
Yeah.
Big dog playpen. That's my solution.
A big dog playpen for the Tassie Tigers that may or may not exist in the west of Tasmania.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm thinking of going to Tassie in June.
Okay.
And I do want to explore the north. You can't really even explore the west
because
it's that rugged. But I want to go to the northwest because Julian hasn't been to that part yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to look. I'm going to
have a look around.
Get poke around
out.
And look for my little tiger friends.
Just have your iPhone on record the whole time.
That's the thing. I've always got it ready for cute animals. There's no way I'd be missing
it. Prepared.
Even like boring animals that we see all the time.
Yeah. Like another kangaroo.
Yeah. I love kangaroos.
They're really cute.
So if you've seen a Tassie tiger, I went into the group, and I put pretty much all of them on here. Yeah, I think they were the only people that had seen them. But if you've seen one, or your dad's seen one, or your granddad reckons he's been hunting them for years, but only for good reasons.
Yes.
If you have some grainy footage you'd like to share, head on into the group and share it, because I want to know. I want to have a sighting.
Yes, same. I want to see it.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Bye.
Bye.